Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about contentment, which is the missing piece oftentimes. This idea of being content in all situations, no matter what's going on around you, having this contentment, because the Bible tells us that godliness with contentment, the combination of the two, godliness with contentment, is great gain. And there's great gain. It's often the missing piece to having some great gain in your life, this contentment, being content in all things. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a two-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, and we plan our upcoming day with God. And it's about going about your day, executing the things that you know to do, and doing them with contentment, doing them with a good attitude, doing them with joy, trusting that God's with you. He's right there with you by your side, doing these things with you. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, and all of our families and friends, and all those connected to us and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So let's begin to go through the other half of prayer. And our first step is getting positioned in the light. Jesus has released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light, into his kingdom. And it happens, that transfer happens because of the forgiveness of sins. And that forgiveness has to flow. We have to receive it from God, give that same grace and forgiveness to ourselves, and let it flow through us to other people by giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. Think about this, released from the darkness. God is releasing our sins from us, the ways that we've missed it, the ways that we've missed the mark. We can receive that from him. And every time we feel like we've missed it, we can run to God and receive this grace and forgiveness from him. But then we got to release those things from ourselves. We got to receive that from him. We got to take that pressure off of ourselves and release some things, maybe ways we've been beating up ourselves, condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. We got to get rid of those things. It's like a kink in the hose that blocks what God's trying to get through us many times. And then we got to release some things oftentimes that other people have done to us as well. Ways that they've wronged you, things that you didn't like that they did to you. We got to release those things. And what does that lead to? It leads to us being content in all situations. One of the things, when we begin to let some things go and all these things stop bothering us, we stop focusing on them and magnifying them, there's tremendous contentment to be found when we think on those things, when we begin to think on what is lovely and just and pure and beautiful. There's tremendous contentment to be found there. And then we get into the light. Then we got to magnify it. We got to make it bigger on the inside of us. We've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light, but then we got to magnify that light. How do we do that? A couple things: gratitude and focusing on what's going well, focusing on how much progress you've already made, the steps forward you've already taken, how much you've seen God come through already for you in your life. Often we get caught looking out at the goal and there's worry, there's stress, there's dread of what's coming, all these types of things. And we can stay in the present moment with God. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. We stay in that present moment with him. There's fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's contentment when we stay in that present moment. And we begin to magnify God by focusing on him. When we begin to magnify the problems and the issues and the things we're worried about, we begin to roll them over in our minds and meditate on them and magnify them on the inside of us. They begin to grow bigger and God grows smaller on the inside of us. When we begin to magnify God and how much he loves you and that nothing is impossible for him, what he's done already for you on the inside of you and in your life that you've seen already and the things that he has prepared for you, begin to magnify those things. That light begins to grow brighter and brighter and brighter, and it begins to kindle this fire. Light kindles a fire. It begins to kindle this fire on the inside of you, and it begins to just flow through you. You have to talk about it. You have to take action. You're just compelled and urged from the inside to begin to walk out God's purposes and plans for your life. So how are we doing in your emotions? I like to think of peace and joy are my indicators of what I'm magnifying in my mind, what I'm dwelling on, what I'm meditating on, what I'm rolling over in my mind, the images I'm playing in my imagination. When I'm magnifying God, peace and joy and contentment are my indicators. They're my indicators. And then what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, if we're going to make a plan for the day with God, what are the things that you know to do? Maybe some things you've been procrastinating on or just things that are popping up in your conscience. Like, I know I need to do that. I know I need to reach out to that person. I know I need to start eating better, start exercising, to be more present with my family. I know I need to do whatever, these things. How could you just get started on them today? You don't have to have it all figured out, but how could you take some steps forward in the right direction today? What are the things that you know to do? Not the things you're uncertain of, that you're looking out like, I don't know what to do out here just yet. What do you know to do today? Stay in the present moment. Execute today the things that you know to do. And there's usually two sides of this: things that need to get done and things that God is prompting or stirring in your life that you really want to do. Things that you're excited and motivated and desire to do, that God is stirring on the inside of you. And just simply begin to make a list of those things each day. You'll be amazed if you do this. Make a list of the things that need to get done and you want to get done today. And then just execute. Just go about the day executing and doing it, trusting that God is right there with you. He's helping you. He's equipping you. He's showing you what to do, and he's providing the anointing and the equipping to do it in his strength as well. If we'll just get started and take the first step, it's amazing when he can begin to flow through you if we just get started and begin to take action and are consistent with it. And then what's God been teaching you or showing you? It's his voice that's trying to lead you to this spacious, beautiful place. We've got to take the time to get still, to listen. It's good to reflect back over your last day. What did I learn today? If a day goes by and I didn't learn something, or I didn't feel God was leading me and guiding me along his path, showing me new directions and teaching me new things, then I missed it somehow. I wasn't tuned in very well. I got too busy. I got too focused on other things. Maybe I was doing things on my own strength, whatever it was. I missed it. Taking the time to reflect back. And if you missed it, say, God, forgive me. There's always grace and forgiveness. Forgive me. What was it you're trying to tell me today? What was it you're trying to show me today? Would you please repeat it for me? Because I missed it, or I didn't understand it, or whatever it may have been. But I've been thinking about this idea of contentment. I've been thinking about this idea that we all at one point or another had something like this missing puzzle piece on the inside of us. All of us had something like this missing puzzle piece that was on the inside of us, and only God had the piece. Only God could fill that void. Only God could fill that piece on the inside. It was made just for him. And we often go searching to fill that peace. I know I did it in many ways, searching to fill that peace for that missing puzzle piece. We go searching for it. We might look for it in education. We might look for it in books. We might look for it in alcohol or drugs or sex, or it could be money or power, or we look for it in other people. We think somebody else is that missing piece. We think somebody else is going to fill that void inside us. And we put this demand and pressure on them to fill something that they were never created to fulfill. They weren't made to fulfill that piece. And I was talking about this with my daughter. And we were talking about how the most important thing, the central piece of life, is getting this piece of God, getting God established in your heart and your relationship added with him, and making that the first thing, making that the most important thing, the first thing, where he's your best friend, he's your father, he's right there with you, doing everything with you. And then when you have that, you can be content in all things. Whether you don't have enough money, you have enough money, people aren't treating you right in relationships, you feel like that person who was the missing piece is not living up to the expectations you had of them, they're not doing what you want them to do. We go searching for it in all these other avenues or whatever it may be. And we may get frustrated, we begin to pout because we're not getting our way and these things aren't fulfilling us and all these types of things. And that missing piece was never meant to be filled by another person, never meant to be filled by money or physical pleasures or who knows what, food or alcohol or cigarettes or any of that, these types of things. It was meant to be filled by God. And you see this, people make a lot of money, but they're still depressed. They're still searching and searching for this thing, this feeling that they need on the inside. And this is the missing piece. And it comes with this combination of godliness with contentment. Because when you realize that God is with you, that he's right there with you in everything you do, that he's side by side with you, that can lead to this amazing feeling of contentment at all times. And I think it's getting to this place where we're content all the time, whether your money's up or down, whether your relationships are up or down, whether you are, whatever's going around you, you are the same all the time. We don't get frustrated. We don't pout. We don't snap at people. We don't do all these things. We just stay in this content frame of mind. I'm just thinking of Philippians chapter 4, which I've got a snippet from Philippians chapter 4 we're going to look at. But if you look at before what we're going to look at here, in the chapter of Philippians 4, it talks about rejoice always. Be content all the time. Rejoice all the time. Let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, let it rule in your heart. And think on these things. Think on whatever is lovely, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is of good report. If something's of a bad report, we're not supposed to be meditating on it. We're not supposed to be rolling it around in our mind, thinking on it constantly. Give it to God. Let him work it out for you. When you begin to realize God is with you and you just stay focused on him all the time, you can be content in all situations. And that's this place where I believe God is trying to get us to, that we're consistent. We are the same all the time. And we are just content in all situations, even when people aren't doing what we feel like they should be doing in a relationship. Your money's up and down. Someone takes away your coffee. Whatever it is, you're content in all situations. And that comes from that inner peace, this missing piece being established of God being first place in there and dwelling on him, meditating on him, staying in his presence continually. That's how we feel that. But let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here. This is right after. It says, rejoice in all things. Think on whatever is lovely and pure. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Think about that for a second. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. So what I want you to think about, any time that you lacked contentment, that was an area that you were trying to fulfill something on your own rather than God being the central piece of it. Maybe you're trying to force something to happen in your own strength rather than allowing God's grace to take care of it for you. Everything that he gives us is supposed to come as a gift of grace, not because we work for it. So oftentimes where we're lacking contentment is areas where we're trying to force things to happen on our own rather than trusting God to supply all things and give us richly and freely all things to enjoy. The Apostle Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He's been poor, he's had plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And the Apostle Paul, he went through some pretty horrible stuff. Shipwrecked, stoned, nights out in the open sea, some of the kind of stuff that none of us have ever been through. But he knows the secret of being content. We should listen to him. He's been through some horrible stuff, and he knows the secret of being content through all that, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or want. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Learning to be content, whatever the circumstances. So whatever's stealing your contentment, that's an area we're going to take communion today to bring to God, ask him for his forgiveness, because we're supposed to be content whatever the circumstances, and ask him for his help, that he would fill that missing piece on the inside of us. Now let's look what happens when we have godliness with contentment. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone teaches otherwise, he's talking to Timothy about some of the things that people are teaching, and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. Understanding is about understanding grace, understanding that God supplies everything to us by his grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6 says, the gospel bears fruit in your lives ever since the day you understood God's grace. Understanding God's grace is what produces fruit in our lives. It says they have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions and constant friction between people of a corrupt mind. Now notice, are these people dwelling on what is lovely, just, pure, of good report? No, they're dwelling on envy. Hey, I want what that person has. I'm not content because I want what that other person has. I'm just thinking of an example today. One of my daughters had a birthday, and she got some presents, and her other daughter was not content. She was upset because her sister got some things for her birthday, and now she didn't get those things. So she's envying over what her sister got. She's not content, and she was getting upset about it, that she didn't get presents. She's young, but we got to learn to train her to be content in all things. Strife, getting upset about what people are doing to you. In any relationships, losing our contentment based on what other people are doing to us. Malicious talk, evil suspicions, assuming the worst. That's not dwelling on good reports. And constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Now notice, this is an interesting pair of verses right here. Who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. So godliness is not a means of financial gain. But look at this verse. But godliness, right after that, but godliness with contentment is great gain. When we have godliness with contentment, and God is the source of it, God is filling that missing piece where we're not getting upset about everything because we have God with us. And we're learning to give other people that same grace and forgiveness and to trust in God to supply everything that we need, who gives us richly and freely all things to enjoy. But godliness with contentment, you have to put those two together. Godliness with contentment, you have to have the two together. And what does it equal? Great gain. And I think that means in everything. I think it starts from this contentment on the inside. And when you have that contentment, now God is your highest priority. You're valuing him over everything else. And he can begin to add things to you because he can trust that you're not going to love the stuff more than that him on the inside of you. That godliness with contentment leads to great gain. I think this leads to great gain in all things. Because when you get content on the inside, you're getting rich on the inside. And God can begin to add things to you because they're not going to pull you away from Him. Because you're not focused on the money and stuff. You're not happier because you got more money or stuff. Or improved your relationships. You're happy all the time. You never change. Your goal is to be a fountain. Your goal is to be a blessing. Your goal is to be a light. And you have that contentment all the time. And God can begin to add things to you. What's going to happen? It's going to flow through you so that you bless more and more people is what's going to happen. So we're going to take communion over this. And as we break the bread today, it's going to be a very simple letting go, releasing any ways that we've lacked contentment, that we got upset, that we wanted to pout or get frustrated, lay on the bed and sulk. Any of those areas are areas that need to be brought to God, and He wants to fill that missing piece, and He wants to supply whatever it was you were pouting over. He wants to supply in that area, but He wants it to come from Him, not from quarreling and fighting and trying to figure out and getting it yourself. He wants to supply it for you. So as we break this bread, this is going to be a releasing of any areas where we lacked contentment. As we take the cup today, it's going to be stepping into this new way of life, to be content in all situations. And we might not get it all perfect at first, but we're going to be more aware of it now. And we're going to start, and it's going to grow bigger and bigger. This contentment and joy is going to grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us from this point on forward in our lives. It's only going to grow bigger. So every time we take communion, it's an opportunity to just receive God's grace. And I've been doing some more work by email lately, and we've been emailing some important documents back and forth. And one of the things, as you're emailing important documents back and forth, people want to know that it's been received. God has given us this tremendous gift of grace in the body and the blood and this new covenant in Jesus. And it needs to be received. And almost always these emails come back. You send somebody something important and the email just says something very simple. It's very quick. It's very short. Just says received. Thank you. Or just simply says thank you. How do we receive? Gratitude, thankfulness. Just I receive it. I receive it. Thank you. That you want to make me content in all situations, and godliness with contentment is great gain, I believe, in every way. So, Father, we just thank you for this bread and just your unfailing love for us, and that nothing is impossible for you. We're just asking to help us to step into this new way of living, just to be content in all situations. All things at all times. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said, "Take it, receive it." Just that very simple thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this bread and all your promises that you've given us to Christ, in Christ. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's a releasing of those sins. Forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can live this life with this missing piece that's fulfilled. And as that void is filled in our lives, and we can be content in all situations. Father, we just thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So now it's simply about walking it out. How are we going to do that? Keep your eyes fixed on God. Keep your eyes fixed on the things above, the things of heaven, that God is working continually for your good. And if he's with you, you can be content in all situations. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.